the invisible God, if you want to see what God looks like, you look at Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. So we don't look at the speaker, we look at Jesus. And then, yeah, and it's just really, really fun. I've been running with Cityquake and Power and Love before that for since 2018. So what's that, 7 years now. And my background, just so you kind of get to know me a little bit, is I was raised in the church. I had a really wonderful family, still do. I was raised in a loving home. I went to church as a kid, thought it was very boring, and didn't enjoy it at all. I'm honest. But when I was about 5 years old, I think, I remember laying in my bed as a little boy, talking to Jesus in my mind, and probably with my mouth, but in my mind, the way I would kind of talk to my stuffed animals as a little kid, you know, and I clearly remember the sensation of him communicating back to me in some way that that five-year-old little boy could perceive. Wow. Was it audible? No, but I remember that there was, you're real, you love me, and this is really, this is normal, this is natural. What happens? We grow up, we get heady, we lose some of that, and then we spend the rest of our lives trying to get that serendipity of youth that connects to the Father like a little kid. This is why Jesus could say, unless you come like a little child, you can't even see the kingdom. So what do we do as believers? We try to find different ways to connect like that, right? So I grow up, I come to the Lord, and I was raised Catholic, in actually all lots of good ways. I had a healthy understanding of the Lord, of his holiness, as a young kid. I had a healthy understanding of church is serious, and this is valuable, and you need to, you know, take it seriously. It was boring, I didn't enjoy it. But I knew that there was something about the Lord there that I wanted. And because I had had that time in my bedroom with Jesus, where his spirit connected with me, it wasn't like I did anything. He was just good to me, and he just reached down and said, here I am, son. Right. But because I had that background, I can kind of find him anywhere. Right? Because John 1:1 says that in him is the light of men. Yeah. Right. So if there is any light in any of us, who's that? Jesus, right? If there is any light in the Muslim, that's Jesus. If there's any light in the recalcitrant atheist that is spitting in your face vitriol, if there's any light in that, that's Jesus. So it's kind of fun, in some ways, to find what he's doing. And this is kind of what we train people to do at Cityquake. So maybe you've heard of it as an evangelism conference. I'm not sure what you know. This is really what Cityquake is about. It is about becoming love. It is about living Christ. What does it look like to live Christ in any and all situations? What if it's not about me and getting my needs met and my circumstances fall in the line? Because how long does that last anyway? I mean, some of us that are fully grown, honestly, you're either going into a storm, coming out of a storm, or you're in a lull until the next storm.
Right.
Right? So if the point of the Christian life is say the prayer so that life will be smooth and you'll have smooth seas, drinking lemonade on a beach with all your bills paid, I haven't seen that yet. Right? But what if when Jesus said, anyone who would come after me must first say a prayer to go to heaven when they die? I'm not doubting that, because you must be born again. But he didn't say that. He said, anyone who would come after me must first deny themselves, take up my cross, and follow him. Deny myself means, okay, maybe it's not about me. Maybe it's not about me getting my needs met. Because honestly, a lot of us, me included, I came to the Lord in fullness when I was about 14 years old. But I came to the Lord to get my needs met. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was afraid of the fires of hell.
Yeah. Right.
I believed all that. I knew, I had a very clear understanding of my own sinfulness. Mm-hmm. Nobody had to tell me. Have you ever said a lie? Have you ever done looking at a woman lustfully? Nobody had to tell me that. I was astonishingly aware of my own shortcomings. And I think most of us are. So what if it isn't about getting my needs met? It's not necessarily about going to heaven when I die, but it's about getting heaven into me right now. And then for the rest of my life, I go about trying to look more and more like Jesus every day. Am I Jesus? No, but he lives in me, if you believe it, through his Spirit. And if you believe that you become the very carrier of the presence of God on this planet, you'll start to walk like him. You'll start to live like him. First John, this is what we teach in City Quick. I'm just giving you a splatter gun pre-show. 1 John chapter 2 says, anyone who says they abide in him ought to walk exactly like Jesus did. Ooh, that's a really high bar. Oh, my. Okay, well, and this is what's so relieving, because it's like, yeah, that's a really high bar. It's such a high bar, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It's such a high bar that you'll never be able to do it. Why does the Lord ask us to do things that we absolutely cannot do? For example, Matthew 10:8, as you go, heal the sick. Not pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out devils, raise the dead. Why does he ask us to do things that we have absolutely no ability to do? So that when I am surrendered, and when I am in a clear understanding of my identity, of who I am in Christ, who he paid a price for me to be, a new creation. We all know this scripture. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come, right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. The old translation, if you look in King James, it says, the life I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God. It's not even my faith. This is cool. It's kind of not about you. You can deny yourself and you can say, Lord, it's all about you. Fill me with your presence, Lord, and let's go do this life. I don't know what it's going to be, but wow, it's going to be fun. Yeah. Right? This is what we teach in City Quake, and then we very specifically equip you to go walk in it like Jesus did. Because if, and we come at it from the perspective that if everything Jesus did, and this is what I believed, I always believed this. This is what I got taught in the church, and I know I grew up this way. I believed everything that I see Jesus doing. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, blind eyes open, raise the dead, Lazarus. I believed all of it. Right? And but then I went to this point, I'm like, well, of course, he's Jesus. He's giving sight to the blind. Of course, I believe it. He's the Son of God. He's God. I'm not God. Ergo, there's no expectation that I would see any of those things in my life. And isn't it awfully blasphemous, possibly heretical, to say that I would do the same things Jesus did? I mean, come on, he's perfect. I'm clearly not, because I'm very acutely aware of my sin problem. But then I read Philippians chapter 2. I can just kind of quote it. I didn't give it to you, Amy. It's okay, though. Philippians chapter 2, it says, although he was in very nature God, right? So Jesus Christ is 100% God from the foundation of the world. He's always been God, always will be God. Right? He is 100% God. Although he was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Being found in human likeness, taking on the nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Right? So somehow, which doesn't work in my finite brain, Jesus is 100% God, always has been, always will be. But then at the same time, he is 100% man.
Yes.
And those two go together as 100%. So, if everything Jesus did, he did as God, then I cannot aspire to that. But if everything Jesus did, he did as a man in perfect relationship with God, then that's now an opportunity for me. Because I understand the gospel. Jesus is in perfect relationship with God. Why? Because he's God, but also because he is righteous. He is sinless. He never sinned, not in thought, word, or deed. 100%. He walked this thing out, and he paid the price of, just backstory, Abraham. We have Abram, right, being called out of Ur of the Chaldees. He's going to become Abraham in a couple chapters. Abram leaves Ur of the Chaldees and says, I'm going to go to a promised land. It's going to be the land of milk and honey, all this stuff, right? And God makes a covenant with Abram, right? And there's this, you know, ancient thing. They would cut a bunch of animals in half, and half on this side, half on that side, right? And the deal is that we're going to walk through the blood, and that's the way we seal the deal. Don't you? Aren't you glad you got, like, online sign, you know? I'll just send you a link, and you can, you know, buy your insurance. You don't have to, like, some critter, you know? Sorry, kids, we got to get a new dog because Dad, I got to buy the homeowner's policy. Something's got to die. That's the way it was, right? So to prove that we're both committed to this deal during Abram's time is there had to be the shedding of blood. And they would shed like an ox and a ram and all the critters. But if you read in this, you'll find that Abraham didn't complete the deal. He's in his tent. He said a dark and dreadful darkness, sorrow falls over him. Because who can do a deal with God and hold up your end?
Nobody.
Nobody, right? But the deal was you both walk through the blood, and then I take off one sandal and give it to you, and you take off your sandal and give it to me, and that was like the signatory page of the homeowner's policy. So that if one of us ever broke the deal, I could come back and say, hey, here's your bloody shoe. Do what you said you'd do.
Right.
And arguably, if you don't, then we can shed your blood like this, arguably, at that time. It's called a suzerain treaty, which that won't be on the quiz. You don't need to memorize that. But Abraham didn't do it. So what we see is that a blazing torch appears, goes through the little gully where the blood is, goes through that. And that is the presence of God, okay? I think it's a Christophany, it's a pre-incarnate Christ, where Jesus himself is going through that, and this is, in effect, what God is saying. He is saying, I will commit to both sides of the deal. When you break the covenant, I'll do the bleeding. But somebody still had to walk out the covenant. A man had to walk it out. Abraham didn't do it. So Jesus Christ comes on the planet, lives a perfectly sinless life. He walks out the covenant every single day. He fulfills the old covenant law, the ceremonial laws. He fulfills the righteousness laws. And by the time Jesus comes onto the planet, the Jews have created 613 laws plus 10 commandments. God started with just the 10 with Moses, right? And they're like, yeah, about that. We should clarify some things. And by the time Jesus is here, they have created a religion called Judaism over all these laws, right? Jesus comes on the planet, walks all of it out, and he says crazy stuff like, I and the Father are one. He calls God his Father. They don't have a grid for this. They are freaked out. He's the only person on the history of the planet who was so perfectly righteous, and they killed him for what he said.
Yes.
Truth preached in the streets for 3 years.
Yes.
And man didn't want to hear truth.
Right.
So they crucified him for what he said.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But a man walks this thing out. So back to, what does this mean for us? So Jesus walks everything out. He goes to the cross. He fulfills all righteousness. He goes to the cross. He pays the price for sin. We all know the gospel. I'm looking around. I see it. I see it. You know this. He fulfills the gospel. He came to restore. First he came to seek and to save. You know it. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Sometimes people kind of mispreach that. They say those who were lost. Keep, seek and save those who were lost. Not wrong, but not exactly right. Seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost?
Relationship
with the Father. Now, because of the cross, my relationship with the Father is restored.
Amen.
I can stand in the garden like I never ate the apple. Thank you, Jesus. I am now restored to my original identity, which was Adam. That was God's original plan, who was in control over all of creation. We call that the dominion mandate. It's in Genesis chapter 1. Authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every creeping thing, the dirt, all that stuff. So when you get a revelation of who you actually are because of the cross, you find out that, oh my gosh, I am without excuse. Jesus didn't do all that stuff to show me his godlike superpowers. Instead, he came to show me what we would do. And he models that throughout the gospel. In Luke 9, he sends out the 12. He sends out the closest, the apostles. He says, I give you authority to heal all diseases and to cast out all devils. Right? They come back. They're jazzed. Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Right? They're really fired up. Right? And Jesus is like, okay, stop it. It's not about the demons. Rejoice, your name is written in the book. That's cool. Right? And then in Luke, the next chapter, Luke 10, he sends out the regular guys. The 70 or 72, depending on your translation. They're the roadies. They're the hangers-on. They're not the 12. They're the disciples. That's me. That's you. Those are the regular ones. But you know what? He gives them the same authority that he did in Luke 9. He says, I give you authority to cast all demons and heal all diseases.
Yes.
So man is without excuse. If you believe. So what's the difference? Jesus did everything he did as a man in perfect relationship with God. Why was he in perfect relationship? He's sinless.
Yeah?
Right. Okay, back to the beginning. I am clearly not. However, the message of the cross is when I receive Jesus, there's this great exchange.
Yes.
All my goodness, which is nothing, all my sin, all my garbage, all my junk goes to him.
Yes.
All of his righteousness gets put in my account. And when God sees me, he sees me through the blood of Jesus. And I am as righteous as Jesus in his eyes, not because of what I did, but because of what he did. If you believe, when you believe that you have become a brand new thing never seen on the planet before, you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. What's the new? The new is everywhere I go, he goes. Everybody I talk to, he talks to. Because he says, you know, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Let he who speaks know he speaks the oracles of God. But it won't be you doing it if you believe. If you can get the revelation. This is what happened to me. I got this revelation. In March 2018, I was walking through my kitchen, and a thought prayer hit my head. This was out of the ordinary for me. Not the thought prayer necessarily, but the topic of the thought prayer. This was the thought prayer. Lord, teach me to love the way you do. That was not my norm. My prayer life was generally all of my owies, all the things that I'm dealing with, I'm struggling with, the stuff with business, the stuff with ministry, the stuff with your family, how are we going to pay the bill, all the stuff. And I would come out of my prayer time more stressed than when I went in. Why? And the Lord showed me. He's like, yeah, you weren't praying, you were complaining. I'm sorry. It's like, it's okay. I love you. Anyway, that was not a normal prayer. Lord, teach me to love the way you do. That was not normal. It's so much, it stopped me And I processed that. But that was a revelation from the Lord. This is the heart of CityQuake.
Yes.
Teach me to love the way you do. How will that affect your relationships? How will that affect your relationships with your boss, with your employees, with your kids, with your wife, with your husband, the stranger at the gas pump that cuts you off,
yeah,
takes that, you know, you were waiting. How will that affect things? When you get the revelation, it's nothing you can do, but you just like, Lord, this is how you see me. Ephesians chapter 1 says, before the creation of the world, he chose you in love before the creation of the world. Let's just get that straight. This is trippy. Before the creation of the world, before I was here, or there was even a planet or a solar system, that's when you chose me. And choose says like among several. Like, no, 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 I want that one. Before the creation of the world, he chose you.
Yes.
In love. Yes. Okay, that means you're choosing me in a good way, not like, all right, that one's going to be so messed up, he's going to need me. Come on. Right? No. Chose you in love to be holy and blameless. What if that's real?
Yes.
What if that's God's vision for you? Because of the cross. Before the creation of the world, he chose you in love to be holy and blameless in his sight. We've all had people in our lives that they just didn't like the look of us. I could do no right.
Yes.
You probably have, you're thinking of someone right now, right? There's somebody out there that's like, you know what, I could do no right with this person. I can't change the way they see me. You can't change the way God sees you. He chose you in love to be holy and blameless in his sight. And you can't change that. So when you get a revelation of this, then you can actually start to step out and try. Because, okay, Lord, you say that everywhere I go, you go. So let's go do life. Let's see what happens. And when I intuit, like when I understand that my goal on this planet is not to get all my needs met and the, you know, glassy seas and drinking lemonade on the beach with the bills paid.
Right. Yes.
But my goal on this planet is actually to reveal him.
Yes. Yes.
In everything that I do.
Yes.
And it's not so simple as, have you said the prayer? You need to say the prayer.
Yes. Yes.
We'll talk about that a lot.
Yes.
In fact, if you're going to come back, if you can come back at 1:30, I know we're all busy. It's a beautiful sunny Sunday. It's probably 140 degrees. 92% humidity. I'm from Virginia Beach, so we have the same sort of thing. But hey, if you want to come, I'm going to do a session. I'm going to basically do a CityQuake session for you at 1:30 today. And Pastor Melissa asked me to talk about how to share the gospel, which will be different, I believe, than any way you've ever seen, right? Because it's not goal-driven. It's love-driven. And as I become love, the Lord can trust me that I will respond to that person the way he would. The Lord showed me several years ago. He said, there's so many things, this is what he said. I felt it in my heart. There's so many things that I want to show my children, but I can't because they won't respond the way that I would. So people that are like, I want more words of knowledge. I want to be able to read people's mail. I want to see the sick healed. And, you know, okay. That might be agenda driven. You might be looking for, you know, I don't chase down the limping guy in the Home Depot parking lot. I have friends that do that. Right? That's not me. I want to become love. And then as you go, the Lord will put things in your path.
Yes.
My wife and I were, we were just in this coffee shop having breakfast once, and we weren't talking about things of the Lord. We were just happy to, like, do this. This is rare, right? And we're sitting there, and we're talking about the life and the day and whatever, and this dude walks up to the table, and I give him young 30s, young, kind of businessy looking, but casual. He walks up to our table, it's a little two-top, just the two of us, and he kind of shifts his weight. He looks around, and he's like, I don't I've never done this before. Excuse me, I feel a little uncomfortable, but I feel like the Lord told me, could you pray for me? I'm like, yeah, dude, what do you got going on, you know? And he's like, oh, I'm a young married, I got $2, and, you know, living out of town and see my family on the weekends, kind of normal stuff. But when you get a clarification of what you're really here for, the Lord can trust you. And it's almost like you don't have to do anything. Now, I don't take that as like I just stand in the wilderness with my mouth open and wait for manna to fall. That's not what I'm talking about. Because people do. They're like, oh, Scott said you don't have to do anything. I'm just going to sit here. Nothing's happening. No. I mean, your heart has to be in the right place. But when he sees that your heart is pure before him, he can send people to you. And then he'll do really cool things. So the CityQuake model is we work to become love. We talk about what does that look like. We're going to activate you in the gifts. So I want my life to look like Jesus. Anyone who says they abide in him should walk just like Jesus did. Well, what's a day in the life of Jesus? Read the Gospels. He's just bebopping along, doing his thing, and devils jump out of people. Are you here to torment us before the appointed time? You know, this is real. That exact thing has happened to me twice. Oh, we're doing this now. Okay. You know, heal the sick.
Yeah.
Blind eyes open.
Amen.
If you don't have an expectation of it, you're not going to see it. So we're going to equip you in what do I do if I see a sick person, if somebody is broken and the Lord gives me a word that it's their marriage that's broken and I want to speak into that. How do you do that? It's kind of awkward. How do you bring that up? We're going to coach you in that. And then I'm only going to talk about it because Paul said, I didn't come to you with fancy speech, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. So what if that's kind of what it's about? We're going to activate so that as we go, live life as you go, do your day, don't change it up. If you got a meeting, go to the meeting. If you're going to go to Starbucks, go to Starbucks. You know, but as I go, then I'm just cognizant of the fact that, Lord, you're right here. You love every single person I'm going to see today.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
Don't let me miss one.
Yeah.
Help me be focused. Lord, what do you have?
Yeah.
Show me what you have, and I will be obedient. Because you say you desire obedience, not sacrifice.
Right.
So I don't have to make this about, oh, I'm going to do the right thing. I didn't do it. Darn it again. No. You desire obedience, not sacrifice. So I'm just here to be obedient. Thank you, Lord, that you love me, that I'm your son, that you're not mad at me. And, Lord, we are in connection again. And, yeah, I'm one with the Eternal One. That's why I'm going to live forever, because I'm already one with the Eternal One. Let's go. Pick up something at Home Depot. Yeah. And then as you go, you're just cognizant. On Friday, 2 days ago, I've got this lady doing like media and graphic design stuff for two of my schools. And she's a handicapped lady. I've never met her. She's like one of those people that sits in front of a computer and just makes magic, probably in a dark room. But, you know, we needed to pay her, and she came and picked up a check, and she's in the parking lot. I went out to meet her. She's been working for us for like 3 months, and I still haven't met her. So I give her the check, and her first response is, oh, I'm not ready. I don't have any makeup on. I said, me neither. I'm really sorry. And my hair's not pretty. So I kind of broke the ice with her. But anyway, she's handicapped, and she's a very heavy lady. So much so that she can't walk upstairs. I think she's just very immobile in a lot of ways. So, you know, we're helping. And we're talking, and she tells me that she's got, like, some problem with her hip. She said arthritis, but then she said fluid on it. I don't know, but whatever. She's got a hip thing that's limiting all this stuff. And I don't know where she stands with the Lord. I mean, I hear that she's doing work for a Christian school, so one would imagine that she's down with that, but who knows, right? So I just said to her, her name's Catherine, I said, "Hey, Catherine, I promised the Lord that if he brought something across my radar, I wouldn't miss it. And, you know, Jesus said that we're to lay our hands on the sick and they'll recover. So, hey, do you mind? Can I just pray for your hip real quick?" I say things like "real quick" when I connect with people. Because if you roll up on someone with big eyes, "Can I pray for you?" That's a little weird. Bro, you roll up on my wife that way and she's not hanging around. That's awkward, right? But if I come and I say, "Hey, Catherine, you know, I just promised the Lord that when he brought it across my radar, I pray for everyone. You know, Jesus still heals the sick. Can I just pray for your hip?" "Oh, yes, thank you." I said, "Give me a landing strip." I put my hand out. Honestly, this is cultural. If I do this, people will grab it. Right? Now, be careful with that. Don't use that, like, don't use your powers for evil. But the fact is, give me a landing strip. People will generally do that. So she's sitting in the car. Prayed for her very quickly. "Father, I thank you for my sister. I thank you for the price you paid for her. And right now, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I command hip be healed, all pain go, fluid go now, all movement return, on the authority of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you'd fill her with your presence and your peace."
Yes.
"That she would know you love her and you see her in Jesus' name."
Yes.
Okay, she's sitting in the car. I'm not going to make her get out and walk around. Some people do that. Just didn't feel right. Her mom is there with her, elderly mama. And they thank me. I get a text from her later in the day. Actually, she just called me on my drive down here. And she says, "I have got to tell you the most miraculous thing that happened." You think that her hip is healed and she's going to get up and do a jig. It's not what the Lord did. She shares with me, "My father died 2 years ago. I always blamed my stepmother for killing him because he had dementia and she didn't take care of him well. And me and my stepmother have been at war. I haven't spoken to her in 2 years. Now, I know that unforgiveness is a massive entry point to our enemy. When you're moving in unforgiveness or bitterness, that's like an open doorway, and he's just like, y'all come, and the situation gets way worse and worse. Now, is her body situation spiritual? Maybe. I don't know. But I know that unforgiveness is a problem. Did I discern that when I prayed for her? Did I say, and I feel like the Lord is saying, you are in unforgiveness and you need to repent of that. I did not. I came in love with the thing that was on the X before me. But I said, "Father, just fill her with your presence that she would know peace. And she would know you love her and you see her. In Jesus' name." She says, "When you prayed for me, I had this abundant overarching desire to call my stepmother and apologize and to try to end the war. I haven't talked to her in 2 years. So I drove home, and as soon as I got home, I got a text or a voicemail. No, it was a voicemail that came in while I was praying for her in her car." That was a cool one, right? Like, "While you were praying for me," I looked at the time, "I got a voicemail from my father's best friend my father's best friend who I had not talked to in 2 years. And he just called to say, 'Catherine, you've just been heavy on my heart. Are you doing okay? I just want you to have peace.'" And she says, "That's what you just prayed for me." So I called my stepmom and we are rebuilding our relationship. We ended the war. Okay. I saw a lady that had a hip problem. But I come in love, and Holy Spirit does cool stuff. This is available to all of us. Can you see in my face? This is so much fun. This is not, "I gotta get somebody saved. Ooh, a limping guy, he's easy." We deny myself. I'm not gonna come an agenda, but I am gonna come knowing who I am. That I am the very presence of God on this planet. That's not heresy. That's the Bible. Right? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know? Paul's like, "Don't you know? Come on." Right? He gets frustrated with the with the churches a lot. You should be on meat. You're still on bread, milk. But don't you know that you are God's temple? And God's Spirit lives in you. He puts you on like a glove, the most perfectly fitting glove. And when we get this revelation, and it's not about us, we go out into the world and we break the devil's back recreationally. Yes. This is what it looks like, right? I didn't turn my clock on. What's our time stamp, Pastor? It's 11:28. What do you want? Are we done? How much? Well, we should be done by 2:30. No. 10, 15 more minutes. Is that cool? Okay. I want to be sensitive to y'all's time. Break the devil's back recreationally. 1 John chapter 3 says, for this reason the Son of God was revealed. Okay. If we were to all go around with a mic and say, what was the point of the gospel? Why did Jesus come? I'd give you the mic. You would say, to save us from our sins. You would say, to reveal the Father. You would say, to show us the right way to live. We would all have good answers. But what if we asked his best friend? John the Beloved, the one who put his head on him during the Last Supper. That's the one writing 1 John and the Gospel of John.
Right?
He actually defines himself as the one that Jesus loved.
Yeah.
He had pretty good identity.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, okay, John, tell me, what was this thing all about? And John says this, for this reason the Son of God was revealed, to destroy the works of the evil one.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that was Jesus' deal, that was his mission, that he came commissioned by the Father to destroy the works of the evil one, which he did, right? That's the gospel, right? He triumphed over all of them, nailing that to the cross. Colossians made a public spectacle of them. He defeated all that. And now I get to do the mop-up victory dance. He already did all the heavy lifting, and now I just get to enforce the victory that he paid for everywhere I go. What a deal. Yeah. So in CityQuake, we are going to equip you to live that life.
Amen.
All right? On the meal breaks, and there will be six, like two a day, we're going to actually invite you to go try. And we're going to send you in little groups with a confident one, someone that has done this before, someone like you. And they'll be like, hey, what do you want to do? We need to eat. Let's go eat. Where should we eat? And I'm like, okay, I need to go pick things up at the grocery store. Let's go. And as you go, they will coach you and model it for you of what does this look like. And it won't be weird. And it won't be awkward. And it won't be off-putting. It won't be people that are agenda-driven. You'll see what it looks like to put on love. My wife does this. Just naturally. She has an anointing of making people cry. She makes people cry every single day. Like two or three of them every single day. Why? Not because she hits them in the head with a hammer. But because that's a gospel. That's a model. That is a model. If you were to die right now, goosh. No, because she comes in love. And she's really prophetic, and the Lord shows her things about people because she's so pure before him. And people experience the Lord through his daughter. What if that's really what it's all about? For people to experience the Lord through his daughter, through his son, every day, everywhere you go. When I was about 5 years, 6 years old, little kid, my dad invites me to come fix the lawnmower with him. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fix the lawnmower with dad. And he gives me a wrench, and he puts it on this nut, and he says, take that nut off. okay, I'm probably going the wrong direction. I'm trying. Obviously, nothing is happening, right? And then I feel my dad's big hand come over my little hand. And he broke that nut loose. And I thought I did it. I went and told Mom that I helped Daddy fix the lawnmower. I had no capacity to help Daddy fix the lawnmower. But it made my dad really happy to say, try it. And as soon as I come to the understanding that I can't do any of this, his big hand comes over my little hand. On the authority of Jesus Christ, blind eye be seeing right now in Jesus' name. Oh my bleep! Bleepity bleep! His big hand came over my little hand.
Yes.
I've seen three blind eyes open.
Yes.
All of them individual blind eyes. Not seen two eyes on one person open yet, but I've seen one eye that was jacked up on three people. Healed. I don't know. I guess we start small. Then we do greater things, right? But it's his big hand comes over you, the little hand. And he breaks that thing loose. And, you know, there's a lot of us in here that are, I say, fully grown. The first city quake we had, I just went as a volunteer. Again, I'm still a volunteer. I just love Tom. And I started running with him and going to these things and just taking people out and modeling it. And our first city quake was in July 2020. Perhaps you know that time. There was a little negative going on in the world, and everybody was hunkered down watching Zoom.
Yes.
And our kindergartners were on TV watching school.
Yeah.
Whatever that meant. Well, Tom did city quake anyway in Billings, Montana, because I don't even think they knew there was a pandemic going on. Although I did get met at the airport with a soldier in a that little camera thing that takes your picture.
Oh, wow.
Like, dude, okay, you can come in, you can get off the plane.
Wow.
That was weird. But whatever the case, we have about 150 people at City Quake number one. And we're taking them out. And I took this group out, about 10, I don't know, it was 8 or 10 people. And almost all these folks are retirees. They're, you know, the working age people, young families were hunkered down or whatever. But I had a lot of retirees. So I took this group out and went to Red Rocks Mall. And I'm just teaching them how to engage people and be love, and it will teach you too. And I had this woman in my group, her name was Shelly. Shelly was a widow, and I would give her probably 80s, maybe, hard to say. Really well-dressed, lovely lady. She told me she was a missionary. She and her husband had done stuff all over the place. So I thought this should be easy for her. Shelly didn't have a clue. Shelly was really scared.
Wow.
I thought, interesting. So at one point we see this this young woman working one of those little kiosks like in the walkway of the mall. It's not an actual store. They just like plop the thing down with a register and somebody's selling nail cares or whatever. Okay, so there's this young high school girl there, and Shelly says, I think I'm gonna try. I wanna go talk to her. So I said, go for it, Shelly. I said, Shelly, just talk to her like she's your granddaughter. Just treat her like you would someone, you know, your own child. Okay. So we stand back, because we don't roll up on people in a gang of 10 Christians. That's weird, right? That doesn't feel like love.
Yeah.
So she goes, we kind of hang back and, you know, kind of watch him like this. She spends about 90 seconds with this young girl. At the end, I see her take her hands like this. Like, oh, Shelly's praying for her. That's nice. She comes back. And she says, well, she prayed to receive the Lord. That was in like a minute and a half. I don't even know how to do that. Right? And, I was okay. But I invited her to come to City Quake tonight. Because, you know, she doesn't know anything about the Lord. And I thought it might be good. Is that okay? I'm like, yes. So that young woman came that night. Somebody gave her a Bible, because, you know, we got those in churches. And she received more ministry and I think got filled with Holy Spirit and baptized in fire. Like, let's just do this thing, right? Splash, right? That's the biblical model anyway. Anyway, so I'm saying goodbye to Shelley at the end of City Quake. I had met a lot of friends and people. She comes to me, and this is a word for a lot of us in here. She comes to me and she says, in my church, they don't expect very much from us. By us, she means the elder generation. She says, we can cook food for each other. We can vacuum. But they don't really expect much of us. You have given me a new understanding of what I can do.
Yeah.
And this just bubbles out of me. I said, Shelley, you are a Holy Spirit ninja. You can talk to anybody. You can talk to a child alone in the mall and no one's going to think you're a creep. You can talk to a biker dude in leather and dripping with chains and he's not going to be mean to you. You are a Holy Spirit ninja. Go be dangerous.
Yeah.
And that is a word for everyone who thinks that I am over the hill, washed up. Ministry is not for me anymore. I'll just go into the shadows and let the younger people do it. I got to tell you, the younger people need your wisdom.
Yes.
They need your social skills.
Yes.
They don't know how to talk to people. They've grown up like this. They don't have the skill set of connecting with humans.
Yes.
They do not. I have a 22-year-old son. I remember when he was in high school. And I was like, okay, you know, what's the story with girls and all that? And he's like 16, 17. He's like, Dad, there's people I like and there's people that like me, but we will never talk about it. I'm like, what? He's like, oh yeah, we don't know how. I grew up in the era of you had to like pull up your big boy pants, cross the line and be like, can I have your phone number? Right? And run the gamut of getting like crushed for life. That'll come out in therapy someday. How come Scotty can't hold down a job or have a meaningful relationship? That's not true. But it was nerve-wracking, right? We had to learn these social skills. The younger generation, by their own admission, doesn't have them. So if we are to engage this world, we need you, fully grown folks, to model and minister to us of what does love look like when you don't have an agenda, you're not trying to get them to buy your book or come to your conference or sign up for Shackley.
Yeah.
Sorry if any of you have to do that. I don't know. Sorry. Because we know what it feels like. You ever walked into a big box store on a Saturday and there's a dude there with a clipboard selling replacement windows?
Yeah.
What do we do? You move like a middle school dodgeball champion to get out of it. Do not make eye contact. Keep going, right? Why? Because we perceive people's agenda. We can read when we are prey and they are predating us. It is real, right? Every single woman in here knows what that feels like. Guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask one of them. It might be good for you to hear, right? When you come with an agenda, I got to see somebody saved. I haven't seen anybody healed in 3 days, 5 days, 30 years, whatever. You're no longer moving in identity as a son. You're now moving in your own objective goal setting.
Yeah.
And just like the dude with the clipboard, people will pick up on it.
Oh, wow.
And they will shut you down and avoid you.
Yes.
But when you come in love, without an agenda,
yes.
And we'll actually teach you some entries and how to do this, but it's not like, there's a lot of evangelism programs out there that are good. I've done a lot of them. I did the Billy Graham thing, Evangelism Explosion. You know, I mean, there's other ones out there. I found that after I learned these things, I actually did it less. Because it was weird. It was off-putting. It was like sales or something.
Yeah.
They say this, you say that. They say this, you say that. The goal is get them to say the prayer.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus never said say a prayer to go to heaven when you die.
Yeah, right.
He said follow me.
Yes.
And the eternal one will come inhabit you. And yes, you're going to have eternal life because you're one with the eternal one.
Yeah.
Right? The thing that separated us was sin. Without sin, there is no death.
Right.
The reason I have to say a prayer to go to heaven when I die is because I got a death problem. But I don't really have a death problem, I have a sin problem. And once I get sin out of the way, which Jesus did on the cross, now I'm restored to the Father. Now I'm one with the Eternal One, and I'm going to live forever. And I start right now. Yeah, and someday I'm going to put off this tent, because this is not me. This is my earth suit. It's made to live a certain amount of time. But that's not me. This ain't me. I'm a spirit being that's going to live for all eternity. And my goal is to just share the reality with my other brothers and sisters out there that just don't know that yet. Because they're walking in darkness. They're walking not knowing that they're dearly loved sons and daughters. This is what we do in CityQuake. And I never even got to the John scripture I told you I was going to use. I think I'm good on time, though. It's 11:43. Is that good? Okay. All right. So, I want to pray for you guys. Okay? And then we're going to come back at 1:30, and I'm going to do a session on how to live the gospel and share the gospel. We'll do some, we call them activations, which is where it's like little role plays. We're actually going to get up and practice and have fun with each other. I promise it will be fun. It will not be, well, it might be weird at first, but we'll get through it, all right? Because I want to equip you so that when the Lord, when you wake up in the morning, Lord, you love everybody I'm going to see today. Show me what we're going to do. And the Lord puts somebody right there in your face. Okay, now I'm equipped for what do I do? I did it. I practiced, right? So we're going to do that. Okay, that's what's coming. All right, and then maybe if you can come on, CityQuake is the 30th of July. It's Tom Rotolo, me, Paulo Silva, who I saw Paulo's photo up there. Paulo is from Brazil, lovely, wonderful man. I've worked with him all over the world. And in the photo you have of him, he's wearing like a jacket. Paulo will wear a jacket if it's under 85 degrees because he's from Brazil. So when you see him, like, yeah, that's that guy. That's the guy in the jacket. It's July in North Carolina, but he's cold. Anyway, really great equippers. So there are a lot of evangelism conferences out there. We are not those. We are the kind that is going to actually train you, set you with people that have done this before. Then you're going to go out and practice. And here's the best part. After that meal session, we're going to come back just like you did with testimonies. I love that you do that. And we're going to have an open mic. And we're going to say, okay, what did God do? And you're going to see a line of 10, 15, maybe 5 or 6 in the beginning. But then it's going to be 25, 30 people that are by the end, and then we're not going to get to them all. We're going to be like, I'm really sorry, come back next time. And they are going to say, and they're going to stand there, and they're going to tremble, and they're going to say, I never knew this was available. I didn't. And then I went in, and I said this to her, and she's like, yes, thank you so much. And she gave her life to the Lord, or whatever, or somebody's hip got healed, or crazy stuff happens, and you get to be part of that. That's what we'll do. So if you can come, do come. It's a 3.5-day, it's a commitment. I get it. I have lobbied for it to be shorter, because it's a lot. It's a lot for me. And Tom's like, you know what, if they can only come for 3 sessions, they'll just come for the 3 sessions they want. We're still going to do 10. So here's the thing. If you come in the evenings, which lots of people can do the evenings, you will be encouraged. You will be equipped. But if you can come during the day, you will be changed.
Yes.
Your life will be different if you can make that. Yes. And I'm not saying you make all 10 of them, but you will change. This is what changed my life. I'm just going to give you the same thing. Can we pray?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So just put your hands out like you're receiving a package. You're receiving something from the Lord because you are. So, Father, we come before you now hungry, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the cross, Jesus paid for all of it to be available to us. And right now, for my brothers and sisters in this room, I pray, Lord, that you would fill them to overflowing with your presence. I thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come, have your way in us, that we would become your manifestation on this planet. I thank you for words of wisdom and knowledge in their mind. I thank you when they look at people, they will see those people the way you do. Give us your heart, Lord. I thank you for healing power in their hands, words of life everywhere they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so we have prayer ministers. If the prayer ministers want to come forward, if anybody does want individual prayer, please feel free to come up. They'll be happy to pray for you. And then there's lots of places to eat all around here. And we invite you, if at all possible, to come back at 1:30 to be able to just enjoy more of what we already got this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So love you all. Enjoy and have some fellowship out there as well. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for getting us into here.
Yeah.